We continue our learning with the Nishmas David ben Achrish and Chav Yaakov ben Pinchas Eliyo. We are in Bava Metzia, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Vav. From here until the end of the Perek, we're going to discuss cases where a person finds a star, finds a document. What's the issue? Well, a document is usually relevant to two people. Let's say a malv and a lover, and we don't know who it fell from. We don't know who it belongs to. So therefore, there's a question whether I can return it. Let's say, for example, you find a star that says Reuven owes, Shimon owes $1,000 to Reuven. So did that fall from the malve, which means that the malve still has yet to collect the loan, and therefore you should return to the malve, so the malve now can collect his loan from the love, Reuven from Shimon. Or maybe it fell from the love. The love paid back already, and the malve gave him the star, the document, almost like this is like the receipt, and that he paid him back already, and now the malve can't collect anymore. And you're supposed to give it back to the love. And if you give it back to the malve may now use that star to collect the loan once again. So says the mission like this: Matzah shtarei chov, person finds a shtar chov, finds a document of indebtedness. This is where you find a loan document. Im yesh bahem achrayis nechasim, if what's written in the shtar is achrayis nechasim, this is where the love this is what we have in our ksuvos, where the husband writes that all of his property, there's a lien upon all of his property to make sure that he pays tax ksuv. If he doesn't have any cash or furniture or anything else, then there are properties that that are mortgaged towards that ksuva, and the woman who will be able, his wife will be able to, if necessary, will be able to collect from any properties that he may have sold in the interim from the time he got married, because he had no right to sell them. They are meshubad, they are mortgaged to the ksuva. The same thing would be true when it comes to a halva, a loan. The love, if in the shtar it says, I'm giving you, we say in the ksuva, nechasim de'islan, all types of property are meshubar. There's a lien upon it to pay back the ksuva. Same thing. So if you have that written in a shtar, in a loan document, that the love is meshabed, mortgages all of his property to the malve, that if he doesn't pay back the loan, the malve has the right to confiscate those fields, that property from the people, from the lukuchos, the people who the love is sold to. So then if that's with the shtar that you find in the street, lo yachzir, do not return the star to the malve. And that would be true even if the lover admits he didn't pay back. What are we afraid of? The lover says, I didn't pay back. So the fact that the lover mortgages properties to the malve, but the lover says he didn't pay back, why not give it to the malve so the malve can collect the loan? So the answer is because Shabbos didn't froin mehen, because Beis Din causes people to pay back from them, which means Beis Din will allow the Malva to collect his debt from the karka, from the land, the property of the Lova that he sold after the date that's written on the star. So what are you afraid of? The Lova said he didn't pay back. So the answer is we're afraid really the Lova did pay back. And the star fell from the Lova because the Lova got the star back. So why would the Lova say no, give it to the Malva, I haven't paid back? You're afraid he paid back, but he's going to tell the malve to collect again. Why would that benefit the love? The answer is maybe the love, the star fell from him, and he had already paid back. The fact that he's saying in court, I didn't pay back, is because he and the malve conspired together that now the malve, even though the love paid back already, the malve now will be able to confiscate those properties of the love from someone else. The love claiming I have no money. And what will they'll split that land. They'll split the land that the love had actually sold to someone, even though the love paid the malve back. So because of that, because there's achrayis nechasim, there's mortgage property, we're afraid there's some conspiracy. They may have planned this together, what we call kununya. And therefore, since Beis Din will use that shtar to allow the lova collect from the sold properties, we're afraid that they may have conspired together. Better not to give it back to anybody, even though the lova said I paid back. I didn't pay back, and you can give it to the malva. Don't give it to the malva either. But ein bahem achrayis nechasim. But let's say there is no achrayis nechasim written in the shtar. There's a shtar that Reuven lent money to Shimon. Shimon owes him $1,000, but it doesn't say that Shimon mortgages all of his property. Then there's no concern. Yachzir, you can return the shtar to the malva if the lova admits he didn't pay. Because what's the concern? There's no concern at all. There's no properties that are going to be confiscated anyway. She'ein Beis Din Ifron Mehen, because Beis Din will not collect and cause the lova to pay out from sole properties, and there's no concern of them conspiring together. Divrei Rabbi Meir, this is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. based on the fact that if I have a shtar that doesn't have achrayis nechasim, Beis Din does not get involved in collecting and confiscating properties that were sold. V'achachamim omrim, no. Bein kachu, bein kach lo yachzi. You should never return the shtaros to the malveh if the lovis says, even if the lovis says, I haven't paid back yet, because there's always the concern of Beis Din confiscating sold properties. Why? What if the shtar doesn't mention anything about the lovis mortgaging his properties? It doesn't matter. Bnei Shem, Beis Din from him, Beis Din will always collect on behalf of the malveh from sold properties of the loveh, even if it was not written in the shtar that he's mortgaging his properties. Why is that so? Because we assume, by definition, if there's a shtar written, that presupposes achrayus nechasim. That's what the chachamim hold. Achrayus to'us soferu. We assume that the lack of achrayus of mortgage property of a lien in a shtar is just a mistake of the scribe. The sofer who wrote the shtar forgot it. But we assume once a shtar is, if you have a milveh al peh, the loan that was given without a shtar at all, without a document, okay, there. The loveh obviously has to pay back. If he doesn't, no, he doesn't mortgage his properties to pay back that loan. But once you write a shtar, even achrayus is not written there, it's built in. Achrayus is just a to'us sofer, and that's the opinion of the Chacham. Obviously, Rabbi Meir holds achrayus is not a to'us sofer. Achrayus, if it's written in the shtar, then there is a lien, and if it's not written in the shtar, there's no lien. But since, according to the Chachamim, we assume anytime there's a shtar, there's automatically built in this achrayus nechasim, therefore, never return the shtar to the malva, even if the lova said he has not paid, because we're afraid they may have conspired together. Perek Aleph Mishnah Zayin. Matzah Gitei Nashim. You found a get, let's say. It says Reuven is Megarish, his wife, Leah. Or you found a bill of emancipation of an Eved Kanani, where you see that the master is obviously freed his slave. That's called a get shichrur. Diatiki. Or let's say you found diatiki is a Greek word, which is a tzava shchiv beira. This is a will. A person who was on his deathbed gave a tzava and to divide his property after he passed away to different people. Some say diatiki, maybe not a Greek word, but it is a notrikon. It's a contraction of the following three Aramaic words: diatiki, da, Tehei kai, which means zeh yehei kayam. This should be established the way it is. What does that mean? Well, the halacha is that that when it comes to a shchiv meira, someone who's about to pass away and he's giving a tzava, so even if it's not written down, we assume that he didn't write it down, it hadn't signed by anybody. Divrei shchiv meira kichsuvin v'chimsurim heim. They are as if they are written and delivered already, and therefore whatever the shchiv meira says, you have the right to write down in a document, and even though he didn't write it down, and that holds up in court. So that's what a diatiki is you have a document that has the tzava of the will of the shchiv meira. Matana b'shovarim. Or let's say you find a shtar matana, but this person is well. He's not about to pass away and giving gifts away to people. He writes a shtar matana. It's a shtar. It's not a sale, but rather he wrote a shtar that he wants to give a piece of property to a friend of his, let's say. Or the shovarim. Or let's say you found a kabbal. He found a receipt. Let's say the lover wrote a shovar for the malvet to show. And the Mala rather wrote a shover for the loveh as a raya, as a proof that he paid back his loan, whether it's partial or full. In all of these cases, if you find any of these documents, the will, the shchiv meiraz will, or a receipt, or a get isha, or a get shichrur of an eved kanani, harei zeh lo yachzir. Do not return the shtaros to those upon whom they were for whom they were written. So, meaning, don't give the get to the woman, assuming, oh, she must be divorced. Don't give the shtar shichru to the eved, assuming that he was emancipated. Don't give the shtar tzava, the diatiki of the shchimira, to the person who's mekabel, the Yerusha, whoever's name is written in there, to that he's going to receive the gift, the property of the shchimira, the person who's passing away. Nor give the shtar to the person who's there seems to be the beneficiary of the matana. Don't give him that shtar matana, and don't give the loveh the receipt. Why? Shani Omer says the Mishnah, because I could potentially say, kesuvim hayu v'nimlach aleihem shalutnam. It's quite possible that these people, let's say the husband, he wrote the get, but chose not to give it to the woman. Could be that the receipt was written by the malva to give it to the lover, but the lover hasn't yet paid, so he didn't give it to the lover as a receipt just yet. And so on and so forth. So we're afraid that maybe they fell not from the recipient or potential intended recipient of the shtar, but they fell from the person who wrote it up and never gave it to them. That's why you should not give it to them. And now, to give it back to the owner, that you certainly shouldn't do. To give the get back to the husband, assuming he didn't give it to his wife, that's certainly a mistake, because it's possible that they already did deliver them and they fell. They'll say the get fell from the woman of the Eved or whatever. So that's why you shouldn't give it to anybody. The Beis Din will hold on to them. And let's say though the owner, the husband, the baal of the shtar, the husband said, oh, you can give the shtar to my wife. I did give her the get. I did give this gift to this person. I did give this diatiki, the Shchiv Mara says, was given to this person. That is acceptable. You have the right to give it to them if indeed they tell them that you can. The only concern we have is with the get, because the get has to be written l'shma, for the sake of the name of this particular man, this particular woman. There may be another shtar that was found, that you could have found a shtar that said Reuven is divorcing Leah from Yerushalayim, but there are a lot of Reuvens and Leahs in Yerushalayim, and maybe this get was written for someone else and drop fell for someone else. So that you have to ascertain. But other than that, we could, if the baal of the shtar who wrote it says, oh, you can give it to the recipient, the beneficiary, so you have the right to give it.